Good morning. A blessing to be gathered together again and to be able to look into God's Word. And we do live in very fascinating times, very changing times, but we all know and we need to remind each other that God is still in control and He's not nervous. He knows what's happening. He said these things would happen, and yet I'm glad, too, that He remembers that we're human and that we're dust and that sometimes we fear. And so I don't think we can get away from all of that, but the more we can just roll those things over into God, onto God, the more satisfied we are in Him. And so this morning, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation, and I'm going to do something a little different here this morning. Eight times in the book of Revelation, it tells us who's going to be in heaven. And so we are going to read these verses one by one. I mean one, and then we're going to discuss. We're not, seven of them come in the churches. We're not really here to discuss what the, but we're just going to discuss with each one of these some things. First of all, there's a reward said for each one of those who overcome, except for the seventh one, which they said they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. But we're going to just look at some things that can help us to overcome or that can hinder us to overcome. So the first verse is Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So the people that's going to be in heaven are those who overcome. They overcome themselves. They die to themselves. And they overcome the world. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and almost all things have become..." Is that what it says? No. "All things have become new." And as I think about that, all things have become new. And I think that starts with our mind and how we think and what we process in our minds. And so if we want to be an overcomer, we have to allow Jesus Christ to immerse in His Word and His Holy Spirit to immerse our minds in truth, in godliness. We won't turn to this, but in Isaiah it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." We often like to think that, and we've talked about this before some, but we like to think that God will do it for us. But God is not a welfare God. He doesn't just give everything to us. He expects us to work for some of it, right? We have to apply that. When the children of Israel, yes, sometimes God worked miracles, but often, if you read in there, it says that they chased the enemy for 2 days, and they were so faint that they couldn't hardly whatever. God gave the enemy into their hand, but yet they had a work to do. And so do we. And the mind is really what controls our thinking. I mentioned the other evening that we went to Nicaragua for some time with Robert and Maria Miller, and I would love to speak Spanish, but I'm too lazy to learn it. You know, if I could just take a pill and I could speak Spanish, then I'd probably do it. But you know, I'm too late. I struggle with English. So anyhow, but I was talking with Robert, and I said, "Man," I said, "you know, of course Robert's been in these countries for 30, 35 years, and he can about speak Spanish as good as English, you know." And I said, "When did you get to the point that you really felt like that you was really getting Spanish. And he said an interesting thing. I don't think he even meant it in a spiritual term, but he said, when you start to think in Spanish, that's when you have it. See, we have a lot of professing Christians, sometimes even in our own churches, that they kind of talk like Christ, and it's kind of choppy, and sometimes it's kind of hard to understand, but they're not thinking like Christ. They're not thinking like Christ. We're sometimes not thinking like Christ. But so, you know, if I would try to learn Spanish, it would be a battle because I would be thinking of it in English and trying to say it in Spanish. But when I get to the point that, you know, when you're speaking in your mother tongue, it's just a lot easier to do that. But, you know, as you learn another language, then as you start to think. And so if we want to be an overcomer this morning, we have to think like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus was not concerned for his life. He was not concerned about what people would say. And I don't think there's probably one of us here this morning that desire to die. But that is the only way until Christ comes back that we leave this life and go to the next. And God and Jesus Christ has overcome death. And so I don't say that lightly. I have wrestled with that in my own life. Well, what if something happens to me? And what about my wife? And what about my children? And we have those fears and thoughts. But let's try to place them into the mind of Christ. Okay, the second one. Revelation 2, verse 11. Another tells us who's going to be there, and it's also another reward. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Isn't that a blessing? That if we are overcomers, we will not be hurt by the second death. And as we think about that, and as we look, you know, Christ has overcome. You know, when we die from this life, we die, and then, wow, to think about being cast into eternal damnation. That second, we could call that the second death, and there's probably different things that could fit in that. But sometimes I think of that, and I think, if I know that, why am I not more open to just share the gospel? You know, if we see someone over here injured, we don't think twice. We just tear over there, and we start helping them. But when I know that this person does not know Christ, I'm like, well, which is bigger? His physical life or his spiritual life? We should go help the person in need over here, absolutely. But the world does that. Am I willing to put myself out there and reach out to him spiritually? You know, we face a lot of things. I was having a little Bible study in a nursing home, and I was simply presenting the fact, I was trying to encourage these older people that Jesus Christ is the way to glory and that he is the only way. And the one lady spoke right up in the service, and she said, I do not agree with what you are saying. And I said, well, this is what the Word of God says. So she said, my mom and dad were good people. And I think what she was saying was my mom and dad were good people, and they didn't believe like that, but they're in heaven. And I said, ma'am, I said, your parents are in the hands of a just God. I don't know them. And I don't need to judge that. But the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the only way. And, you know, simple things like that is becoming more prevalent and prevalent in our society. And, you know, we're going to be tempted with so many things. And you know, and as we get draw closer to the Lord, and as the world goes farther away, see, that's what we've been saying. As I go towards heaven, and as the world goes down this way and makes bad choices, it's going to become broader. It's going to become bigger. Don't be afraid of that. If you're no farther away from the world than you was 20 years ago, you've probably backslid. Because you see, society continues to go down as we as God's people continue to go up. And so as we think of that, I say, wow, you know. But we will not be hurt of the second death. And as I think about that, I got a verse that goes along with this, and you probably have all, I'm sure you have, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and there's a verse in here that has just so challenged me, and it's the house of Stephanus, and we're going to read that verse, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 to 15. And it says this, it says, watch ye, stand fast in your faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. When I think of that, we live in a world of tremendous addictions. But the house of Stephanus, it is quoted in Scripture as saying that they were addicted to the ministry of God's people. That's a good addiction. That's an addiction. You know, that means that when we are addicted, it means we can't go without it. Okay? And so here is the house of Stephanus, and they were sold out to God. And they could not live without blessing the people of God. They were addicted to it. They could not do without it. They had to have it. They had to do it. They didn't feel good if they didn't do it. I tell you, addictions. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. There's a lot of addictions today. And I don't know, you know, and this is one that I battle. I battle with the fact of letting my phone interrupt me too much. You know what I mean? That can become an addiction. We feel very uneasy if we go to town without our phone. Very uneasy. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. You know, or sometimes maybe in our circles we say, well, we don't follow this or we don't follow that. But what am I addicted to? You know, the world is addicted to the weekend so that we can party and we can be immoral and we can come back to work feeling like trash on Monday, you know. That they live for the weekend. But I want to challenge you and I want to challenge us this morning. What am I living for? Is it the next Starbucks drink? Is it the next volleyball game? Is it the next pleasure trip? What is it? What, those things are not wrong. But what am I addicted to? What would I be willing to do without? I'm not saying you have to do without of any of those things. But what I'm saying is what has my attention and what do I have to have in my life? I want it to be, and for each of you, I want it to be that I have to have the Lord and Savior as Lord, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit controlling me. I want to be addicted to that I cannot live without that. And when we're addicted to that, I know it will help other addictions. We talked about last night, not under the influence of alcohol, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. So when we're if we want to be an overcomer, we have to have addictions that are towards God. Number three, Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So, I tell you, the blessings of these things are just so important. And I'm going to flip to another verse with that. Philippians chapter 2. We're just read a couple verses there. Philippians chapter 2 that goes along with this. And it says, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye've always obeyed, not as in thy presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Whoa. When he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that does not mean, brothers and sisters, that does not mean that we can do it our way. It means that we humble ourselves before God and say, God, what would you have for me? What would you have me do? You know, it's not that there's more than one way. You know, and our focus, is our focus on heaven? Is our focus, if we want to be an overcomer, our focus, it's interesting, it has to be eternal, but it has to be now. And the choices that I'm making, which way is it taking me? And it's so very important that if we want to be an overcomer, if you want to lose 50 pounds, you have to lose a half pound before you lose 50, right? If you want to be a giant for God and you want to add weight for God and his kingdom, you put on a half pound and you put on another half pound. Not that it's weight, but you understand what I'm saying, of the good things of God. We add those things. And as we add those things, we have to take things off. See, you can't add humility and keep pride. See? We can't add love and still hate. We can't add forgiveness and still not forgive. And so, you know, if we want to be faithful and be an overcomer, our focus has to be eternal. Young people, young married couples, all of us here. One of the things, this just came to my mind, I didn't really study it, but one of the things that fascinates me is when I read through, sometimes when I'm reading in the Old Testament and I read about some of the kings of Israel, one of the things that fascinates me is sometimes I wish I could just stop reading about them about three-fourths of the way through their life. Because numbers of times it says, but when they were old, they what? They turned away from God. But when they were old, they were not an overcomer. You see, an overcomer is faithful to the end. I want to challenge us this morning. It's going to be worth it. I guarantee you. It's going to be worth it. And as we think about that, being an overcomer and keeping faithfulness. The next one, chapter 2, verse 26. Chapter 2, verse 26. It says, now I got to turn back to Revelation here. Obviously, by now you know that it's the overcomers. Revelation 2, verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. So there again, we have a responsibility to keep his works unto the end. And there, we're not really going to talk, but the reward is that he will give us power over the nations. And I believe that one of the things that is probably one of the greatest things this morning, I don't know if it's the greatest, but something that's very, very, important to be an overcomer is we cannot be lukewarm. I just want to challenge you. I don't think for us as God's people here this morning, if we're going to be lukewarm, I don't think we're going to make it in these days. In fact, God says he despises that. It makes him vomit. It makes him whatever. We have to, being lukewarm is not an overcomer. You know, Michael Phelps years ago when he was in the Olympics and he won, I don't know, 7 gold medals or something, he would have had another gold medal, but he, instead of taking his last stroke, he just glided. And somebody beat him by a, you know, 300th of a second or something. If he had taken one more stroke, he would have had another gold medal. Well, that was a gold medal. That's not such of a big thing. But let's not give up when we're old. Let's not give up. Let's be faithful. Let's be an overcomer, you know. And you know, if you're here today and you're a grandpa and grandma, and maybe you're retired, maybe you're not retired, but you know, you have a lot of time to pray for your, if you're retired, you have a lot more time to pray for your grandchildren and encourage them and to build them up and to encourage the parents. And, you know, so I encourage us when we're old, let's not just shuffle our life away. Do you get that? It's okay to go to Florida and play shuffleboard, but, you know, let's not just shuffle our life away. You know, but let's be pillars for God. I mean, you know, in one of the things that has happened in America is that the reverence for the older people is gone. Just old people. In Scripture, age was wisdom. It was respected. And that's one thing that sometimes our Amish friends have over us. They may have lost some of that too, but I have noticed that there is a respect for older people in some of them. And I have noticed that, I didn't realize this, I was kind of like, why won't they, you know, but if I'm around some of them, God's bringing them into our community there and things. And if I'm around them, you know, if they're 30 and I'm in my 50s, they don't want to take my seat. They say, no, you, because I'm learning that it's kind of a respect thing. This isn't for someone that's older than me. And, you know, I think we've kind of, being old is a whatever. And you know, and because of society, you know, when a woman's 15, she wants to look 25. When she's 50, she wants to look 25, and when she's 8, you know, and so we put it all on youthfulness. But God talks about age being valuable and important and all these things. So if we as we get to the middle and the later years of our life, let's be antiques for God. You know? Antiques for God. Antiques supposed to be pretty valuable. I'm not into antiques, but to me, they're not worth anything, really. But when we think about human life, let's be an antique for Jesus Christ, not lukewarm. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, and as we think about that, am I dedicated to God? Am I dedicated to the world or to the Word? And a number of years ago. Well, it's probably been 10 or 12 years ago now. I had some revivals in Holmes County, and I met this older brother, and he left a challenge to me that I will never forget. I don't think, as long as I have my mind. He told me the story. He said, you know, he said, he wasn't that terribly old, I don't think, when his wife died, and I don't know what it was that she passed away from, but he said, I loved my wife, and he said, I loved my wife, and he said, I miss my wife so much. He said, the worst time was when I would go to bed at night. Because he said, my wife and I, we'd go to bed together, and we would communicate together and talk together and share. Just, you know, that was a real blessed time of their marriage. And he said, it was awful. He said, I hated it when nighttime came and it was time to go to bed, and I despised that. But he said, I came up, he said, I started with a plan. And he said, as that time came, he said, I started talking to God sort of like I did to my wife. And he said, night after night, you get time for bed, he said, I would start talking to God like I did my wife. And he said, we would just spend wonderful times together. He said, it came to the point that he said, I looked forward to going to bed. And he said, we had that relationship with God. And he said, you know, I would just pray and talk. And he said, you know, over time, he said, I started noticing this other single lady. But he said, as I thought about this, he said, I told God, I don't think I want to bring another lady into my life because I don't want it to break this relationship that I have with you. And this wasn't from the 1700s, okay? It happened in Holmes County, just in the last. You see, we like to talk about back then. This is real today. Well, God showed him with time that he could have both, so he did eventually marry this lady. But you know, just the intimacy that he built with God was just powerful. And I think we need that if we want to be an overcomer. Okay, number five. Number five is chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What a promise. He said, to everyone that overcometh, he said, he will be clothed in white raiment, and he says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. You can have your name taken out of your father's inheritance. You can have your name taken off whatever. But God says, if you're faithful to me, I will not blot out your name out of the book of the life. And he said, I will confess you to the Father and to the holy angels. And I tell you what, there's no greater thing in my life than that. To have Jesus Christ confess me to God the Father and to say, Terry Myers has overcome. Todd Noonswander, he has overcome. He is one of ours. Brothers and sisters, that's what we want. An overcomer to be confessed before him. You know, and you know, our words often say that. You know, what we talk and what we say. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. There's a negative to that, but we're looking at the positive of that this morning. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before our Father. And he said something about, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And she looked right at that gun and said, yes. Pulled the trigger. Faithful unto the end, even when the barrel, to say, yes, I identify with Jesus Christ. I identify with Jesus Christ. And then to think that someday, Father, he is ours. To be an overcomer. He said to everyone that's an overcomer, you know, and our words are so important. Our words, it says that, for by your words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So words are very important. Now, I have never, a little comical maybe, I have never heard a dating couple say, or a married couple say, my girlfriend. In fact, you know, my wife still is my girlfriend, and I still date her. That's a good thing to do. But I've never heard him say, my wife has the most beautiful tongue. I don't think most people stand in front of the mirror in the morning and they stick their tongue out, you know, and they think, how can I make my tongue look better? I guess they put them studs in there, don't they, so they can talk like that. But, this is free. But I'm amazed that sometimes when I go to town, what I see, I mean, and they think we're weird. I mean, I see people that look like they were pulled backwards through my tackle box. I mean, they got stuff here and here and here, and it's like, man, if they can identify like that, surely we can identify with Christ, right? I mean, wow. But, you know, our tongue is controlled by our heart. And if we're an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ, our tongue is also going to be an overcomer. Now, maybe we fail sometimes, but, you know, have you ever been with someone, or maybe you've done it, and I've done this before, you know, something happens at work, and something flies out, and the guy says, person says, man, where'd that come from? It came from your heart. It's maybe something that we still have to give over to God. So the words that we speak come from our heart. And so we're going to be justified by our words. Revelation 3:12 is the next one. It's 3:21. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. What a blessing to be an overcomer. And you know, I had to think about something that keeps me and keeps us from overcoming. And that is a 5-letter word. And it's called pride. I don't need God. The world doesn't need God. Sometimes we say we don't need God. You know, years ago at Scott's Grocery Store, there used to be Scott's Grocery Store. And when we got married, Scott's Grocery Store was the place to buy. But I think Kroger has since bought them out. But there was a guy in there, his name was Larry. He was a great guy, but I don't think he quite had a full set of load of fries or whatever. Just a little bit short, you know. But it was funny, one day I was sitting in there, and he was stacking these things, bags of salt, and it started to fall over, and he said, help me, God. And he said, oh, never mind, I got it. Help me, God. But, oh, never mind, I got it. You know, but, you know, when we're an overcomer, we understand, you know, as I think of people in the Bible, why did God use Mary? Did she say, well, I'm the mother of Christ? No, when she heard that, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She wasn't magnifying herself. See, pride magnifies ourself. Self-denial magnifies God. And so the magnifying glass is not on me, it's on God. And so if we want to be an overcomer, we cannot have pride. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, how does this sound? He said, is this not great Babylon that I have built? He found out, didn't he? Went like an animal for 7 years. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's a good goal. That God must increase and I must decrease. If we want to be an overcomer, that pride in our life has to go away. And you know the middle letter in pride is I? And I thought about that. It's pride, sin, revival. Those all, the middle letter is I, just for a little extra, Goliath's middle letter is I too. Okay. I will do this and I will do that. The next one. I think I got a little ahead of myself here. Anyhow, the last one that I have, I think maybe I've read the seven of them. I might have read two together there or something, seven of them so far. But this next one is something that can be very precious to us. And it has been very precious to me at times. But you know, Jesus said, you cannot love this and this. You cannot love money. You cannot serve God and money. We live in very wealthy times, and that doesn't mean it's all wrong. But God's word is still God's word, right? If I love money. In fact, Jesus said, if you love this, you don't love this. You despise this. And if you love this, you kind of despise this. I don't think I'm to the point that I despise this, but I think by God's grace, I'm starting to realize more and more how fleeting it is. You know, the rich man, he said he had a problem. He wasn't looking at being an overcomer. 11 times in there, he uses the words I and my in that parable. I will do this, and my, and I. That's hands like this instead of hands like this. I'm not living on my last dollar. And probably none of us here are living on our last dollar. I don't have all the answers to those things. But thus I know that if I love money, I don't love God. I was talking to a brother about this from a different congregation a while back. And I said, you know, it's really important. I said, I'm just going to be honest with this. I think that in our Anabaptist circles sometimes we love money. I have had love for money. I used to have more of a drive to leave a bigger inheritance for my family, but now my focus is more of leaving a godly inheritance. It's okay to leave some inheritance. I'm not saying that at all, but you know, if we want to be an overcomer, I don't have the answers to all this, but sometimes it seems like our bank accounts just go big, 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 and our families become cold, cold, cold. Our soul will never be satisfied with the things of this world. It's the power of God in our life. God, I love enjoying the things of this world, and I have products of the things of this world, and we all do. But I just challenge you, what has your attention? And then the last one is Revelation 21, verse 7. And this covers the entire thing of what we have been working through here. Revelation 21, verse 7 says, well, I think I wrote the wrong verse down. Where does it say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb? It's in Revelation. Sorry about this. Well, I cannot find it right now. 12, 11. Okay, yeah, for some reason I have that down wrong. Thank you. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. And so, you know, as I think about that, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and that's how we process all of this. You know, Charlie Kirk was killed this week, and I don't agree with everything that Charlie Kirk says or does, but I do admire his love for Jesus Christ and his willingness to stand. And he even said that, he said in a speech, he said, I may lose my life someday. But he continued on. And so, we don't make Charlie Kirk our God. We make God our God. But he has been a real challenge to my life and a real testimony. And, you know, I want to be bold for Christ and to stand for what is right and to stand for truth and be willing to speak out. And, you know, and as we do that, you know, we're going to face hard times. I mean, I wish I could tell you that if you serve God with all your heart, that you won't face things. The Bible says, I would be lying to you this morning if I said that. Because Jesus said, they're going to hate you. They're going to despise you. They're going to kill some of you. We have brothers and saints, sisters all around the world today that are suffering for Jesus Christ, that are separated from their family, and are facing persecution. They had it in the Old Testament in Hebrews 11. They ran into mountains and they were sawn asunder. But I want to challenge us this morning. Let's be sold out to God and let's be overcomers. I guarantee you that not anyone, no matter what they faced in this life, that was an overcomer in glory will not say it wasn't worth it. It absolutely will be worth it. You know, and we live in some of these times and we think, well, it's just pretty difficult times. Let me tell you, we have pretty easy times right now. Could you imagine meeting Michael Sattler in heaven? And he says, yeah, they pulled out my tongue. They took hot tongs and seven times or three or seven times, and they pulled out my flesh, they burned me at the stake. They put my hands behind my back and let me hang for hours by my wrists. And when he told his, and when he was, he God worked a miracle that he could speak to his wife the night before he died. He was one of the early Anabaptist leaders. And I would encourage you to read his book. It's called The Broken Chalice, I think, but it's a very good story of his life. And he told his wife, he said, when I go to the stake tomorrow morning, he said, if I have been faithful to God, he said, I will raise my hand in triumph. And his wife was watching from a distance. And as the flames came up around him, he raised his hand in triumph. An overcomer. You know, some of the disciples had trouble. Jesus said, you're going to be crucified. And he said, what about him? He said, don't worry about that. So you follow me. We may not all be shot dead. We may not all be burned to stake. Most likely we won't be. Jesus said, don't worry about that. Follow me. And for every overcomer today, whatever state they're all in, I'm not for sure that the believer is totally in their final state. I'm not here. You know, they're in the presence of God. I don't know for sure how that all happens. I haven't been there. But I know that if we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. It says they didn't love their life even unto death. Wow. Let's pray. Father, eight times here we have read this morning about an overcomer and the blessing and the reward that is with that. And seven times there was a reward. And the eighth time, Lord, it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Help us to be overcomers. And Father, just bless this congregation, Lord. And Lord, I wrestle with lots of things, just like we all do. And God, may we still come back to the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You have said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Thank you for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.